Good morning. We have Ryan Schaub with us this morning with the K-State Frontier Extension District Crop Production and Farm Management Agent, and he has some spring planning to do.
Yes, the weather has gotten us already ready for spring here, but today just wanted to talk a little bit about some cool season forage fertilization. We're going to talk a little bit about hay fields and pastures today. As many of you know, much of the nitrogen applied to our tall fescue or smooth brome, hay meadows and pastures in eastern Kansas are applied in January or February. The appropriate rate and timing of that nitrogen depends on several factors, including whether that field is going to be hayed or grazed, fertilizer and hay prices, and then the growing conditions that we've had even since last fall. So let's just start with our hay production. For established tall fescue and smooth brome, our normal nitrogen application rates range from 70 to 120 pounds of actual N per acre. Basically, a guideline that you can use at home is to apply 30 pounds of nitrogen per ton of expected hay. If you do that, you'll be pretty darn close. K-State's done several nitrogen response studies, and average yields for unfertilized brome were about 1.4 ton per acre, while maximum yields were in that 3.2 tons. I would tell you, again, that was a long-range study, so we do get the dry and wet springs included in that, but know that just because I put out the fertilizer doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to grow the maximum amount. As we increase our nitrogen rates, we generally increase our protein levels of that grass as well. That's assuming that we're harvesting that hay in a timely manner. If we harvest it in August, that's obviously going to be lower quality hay than that could be harvested in June. It does not always, though, make economical sense to apply the maximum amount of fertilizer to grow the most forage. So think about the last few years. We have had fairly good hay seasons. We have a lot of hay now lined up, or maybe we're carrying over a lot of that hay. Do we really need to go out now and spread a large amount of nitrogen when we have a lot of hay that we could still feed up? So right now, fertilizer prices are fairly elevated or high. I get scared about guys just going out saying, well, we've always put on X amount of fertilizer, I'm going to do that again. Sometimes we need to just sit back and think about what we're going to do, because we might have a lot of carryover hay that we could feed up next winter as well. When we get to thinking about the timing of that nitrogen, most of our producers, again, apply that nitrogen in the spring, along with any required phosphorus or potassium. But some Kansas State research has shown that fall applications typically produce higher yields, though the protein levels are slightly lower. Where in that same study, we've seen brome respond to nitrogen applications as late as April, and in those instances we had the same amount of dry matter produced with significantly higher protein values. So, but here's the thing I get worried about: if we're pushing things back until April to get higher quality forage, would be it rains in April, gets wet. What happens if we can't get across that hay ground without tearing things up in getting that application made? I think that's why the January-February time period matches up so well. We're kind of in that middle window, and would give us a large amount of time to get that fertilizer spread. Because right now, the snow's melting off, we're wet again. The only time we might be able to spread fertilizer right now would be in the early mornings when the ground's frozen up because we had a hard frost overnight. Might be able to run that next morning, but it's going to be for a short period of time because then the sun's going to come out, get that ground thawed back out, and now we're going to be wet. So ground conditions are a concern when we do that. There's also a chance, I know, of a big storm moving through in the middle of February, maybe spreading fertilizer right before that. If we spread fertilizer when the ground's frozen and then we get a rain event, the fertilizer is not going into the ground. It's running off, and then we're just fertilizing the ditch. So just be cautious when we're know the forecast. If you're going to spread it when the ground's frozen, make sure that it's going to thaw out before we get a big rain event and we just fertilize those road ditches. Now, if we're going to fertilize pastures, most of our pastures are tall fescue. The biggest thing I'm going to tell you here is not necessarily an amount, but think about the way that tall fescue grows. We're going to see a good production bump in the early spring or on that cool season. When we get it to the middle of June through August, we're going to grow very little fescue. We will then see, if weather permits, some growth again in the September, October, November time period. So what K-State recommends for your pastures to extend your grazing season, put on 60% of your nitrogen in the spring, and then come back and make another application and put 40% on there in the fall. That will help promote that grass, also give you a longer period of time to graze there. If you have a lot of legumes in your pasture, I'm going to tell you don't apply more than about 40 to 50 pounds of nitrogen, because we don't want to shade those legumes out and get rid of them or push them out. So just know what's out there. If you've got mostly tall fescue and that's basically what you're planning on grazing, then we can go 60% of your fertilizer in the spring, 40% in the fall. But if we've got legumes, we might need to adjust that just a little bit. Phosphorus and potassium, it's just important to remember that fescue and brome are efficient users of phosphorus and potassium. And because they've got a really good root system, compared to like corn or soybeans, they've got two times the root mass there. So they can utilize smaller amounts of soil phosphorus and potassium and be okay. They're not going to produce quite what they would if they had adequate amounts of P and K, but they can still produce. On average, brome is going to remove 12 pounds of phosphorus and 40 pounds of potassium per ton of hay removed. So I see a lot of soil test results that are really low in P and K because we've put out nitrogen to grow that crop, but we have not went ahead and fertilized with the other two main nutrients to grow that grass. So when we get really low, we can really see a response just to phosphorus and potassium, and that not only is a response in terms of yield production, but it's a response in the quality of that forage as well. The only other nutrient I wanted to kind of discuss real quick is sulfur. If you're not putting out sulfur, I think we're missing the boat there. Sulfur is relatively cheap, doesn't take a lot. Now I'm talking 10 to 20 pounds of sulfur per acre, but we have seen a response from our grasses to sulfur. Now, I've talked about sulfur deficiency on my radio program before, mostly in wheat. We can see that wheat turn a really like a lime green color or yellow color out there, and it's a sulfur deficiency. We don't see the coloring issues with our bromes or fescues, but we have seen in studies responses and significant responses to an application of sulfur. The only thing I will tell you about sulfur, though, is there are different forms of sulfur. If you're using elemental sulfur, it takes microbes to break it down. Microbes are only active when the soil temperatures are like 50 or 60 degrees. They're not active or very active right now. So you might not see that response until next year, because if we use elemental sulfur. There are other forms of sulfur that are more readily available and wouldn't have to be broken down. So just wherever you're going to get your source of sulfur, your fertilizer at, talk to them a little bit about making a sulfur application. With that, I know I've went a little over my time period probably today, but what I would say is please give me a call at 785-448-6826. I'd love to chat with you about some recommendations and maybe what to do when we have high fertilizer prices. But remember, right now we also have high beef prices as well to help supplement that. So thank you.
Ryan, that's great information. Thank you. Coming up Monday morning at 6:40, Frontier Extension District Family and Consumer Sciences Agent, specializing in nutrition, food safety, and health, Chelsea Richmond.